Sound management enables the effective implementation of policy, and do that. That's why managing the federal workforce will be a major factor in the next president's success, whoever it might be. The Partnership for Public Service and the IBM Center for the Business of Government have developed a roadmap to help the next administration use the workforce effectively. Dan Chinnock is the executive director at the IBM Center. He joins me now with more on that report. Dan, good to have you on.
Good morning, Tom.
All right, so you got together with the Partnership for Public Service, and how did you arrive at the recommendations that we'll talk about in just a moment?
So this report that was released this week is part of a larger initiative that the partnership is leading to help the next administration get ready to govern. And the initiative consists of several elements, including framing a great transition process, ensuring that appointees are well-trained, and ensuring that we use management to deliver effective results from day one of a new administration. And that management roadmap that we are working on with the partnership consists of a series of roundtables with current and former executives in the government, stakeholders who care about management excellence for the government in terms of its work for the American people. And these roundtables are basically facilitated sessions where we bring together thoughts and ideas, and we then take those thoughts and ideas and turn them into a report that expert authors in the field, in this case, the report on managing the government's talent was written by Doug Brook and Maureen Hotney from Duke University. Doug Brook is a former political appointee and an acting director of OPM. And so that process led to the recommendations in the report.
Now, you spent some pretty good time at OMB, rather, Office of Management and Budget, and including working across the changes in administrations, I think, for more than once. What did you see personally as some of the biggest issues for the career workforce and for the incoming people when there was transition?
Well, one of the premises of the Ready to Govern project and the management roadmap is that it takes a while, generally, for administrations, regardless of party and regardless of whether it's a four-year or eight-year term, to get moving in terms of implementing the priorities that the candidate articulated that are important to the success of the presidency and that matter in terms of carrying over good work that's done from administration to administration. And creating a framework for that carryover and building from day one is something that doesn't necessarily happen in the first year because people are new to the government and it takes a while for appointees and career executives to establish that kind of relationship.
So I imagine then that the real transition doesn't start the day the president walks into the Oval Office and says, is there a pencil sharpener here? But maybe at the time of the months leading up to the inauguration.
Yes, in fact, there's now a new law that specifically enables transitions to occur earlier in the cycle, because if you actually hit the transition team ground running on the day after the election, and I was fortunate enough to be part of the transition process in the 2008 election, as well as you say, at OMB for the 2000 election and the 1992 election, if you wait until that day, you're really already behind the eight ball. And so this new law that enables GSA to play a key role in framing a good transition process also encourages the leading candidates who are still at work in the spring and summer of the previous year to really start thinking this way.
We're speaking with Dan Chinnock. He is the executive director of the IBM Center for the Business of Government. And so what are some of the recommendations that you would have people put in place now that are not currently part of transition?
The report talks about several elements that are critical to the success of a new administration. One is to establish a team framework between political leadership and SES leadership, to give them common incentives so that they're working on the same sheet of music, and to create frameworks within the administration so that they can work together effectively in leading the workforce and the stakeholder community that works with federal agencies to achieving those goals and creating common metrics. The second is to strengthen the career SES leadership and to recognize their excellence in terms of delivering on priorities, regardless of party, regardless of president, that these are the people that can help manage the government effectively. One of the interesting findings of the report and recommendations is a new idea that was talked about in the session and then really developed by the authors is to create basically a cadre of leaders at the political and career level who work on major programs that the government operates to deliver services to citizens, and to recognize that that group of SES and political leadership, really, it's necessary for that group to have strong management experience and management skills, and for that work group to work together effectively. And the report recommends that the next administration consider treating them as a cadre, as a core, and talks about the executive management core with political leaders and career leaders, and giving them the training and tools they need to be successful.
So this core would consist of both the outgoing political leaders and the incoming ones?
Well, the report talks really about the incoming political leaders and the career SES, but the report and the process that we're working on with the partnership also speaks more broadly to the importance of that transition and to the fact that it's a critical role for the outgoing leadership to identify and maintain success factors so that the incoming team can make a decision as to which of the many successful programs should be continued, how should they be built on, if they introduce something new, how can they learn from the lessons of the previous administration.
I guess it's fair to say in some cases the career leaders have been there before, maybe by the previous administration of the same party, but maybe at a lower level. Others are coming in for the first time, and I guess for them it could really be a case of deer caught in the headlights unless you get some kind of orientation before you walk into an agency on the first day.
Well, and that's a great word you use, because one of the recommendations of the report is that the orientation that political leaders go through, which happens in various different ways, be done in such a way that career leaders are part of that orientation, so that from the get-go, the training that they're getting, obviously there are necessary political elements of that training which are inappropriate for a career executive to participate in, but there are programmatic elements of that training that are very much important for a team dynamic to be created from the first day, and providing for that and as part of the orientation process would be a key element.
And as a career person, would you necessarily want the outgoing political person to talk to the incoming political person about you? They might say, well, look, you know, whatever you decide to do, George here is really good, and make sure you rely on him. Or, you know, watch out for Alice. She can kind of, you know, pretend she's cooperating with you and then not do what you want, this kind of thing.
Well, it's all to the good when occupants of leadership positions talk to one another, the incoming and the outgoing, and I've done that in my career in various different positions, and I know that that successful political leaders in the government often will talk to their predecessors regardless of party, and that can be on a whole range of issues, personnel, policy, key stakeholders, and I think that that's all to the good.
And the last time around, we saw that kind of thinking went all the way up to the outgoing and incoming presidents themselves.
Yes, indeed. And in fact, this trend of creating transition processes that recognize the importance of a strong outgoing transition, a strong incoming transition, facilitated by the General Services Administration and authorized in law, is something that continues that trend.
And I guess so we've come a long way since 1933, when Franklin Roosevelt and Herbert Hoover didn't speak to one another, even riding in the car down Pennsylvania Avenue.
Indeed. We're hoping for continuous improvement in the national transition process.
All right. Dan Chernock is the executive director of the IBM Center for the Business of Government. As always, great to have you on.
Great to talk with you, Tom. Thanks for having me.